Chapter 12, Leonore's Expedition. When Marie awoke, she saw with surprise that Leonore's bed was empty, though it was still very early, and that young lady generally was very difficult to rouse on Sunday, as she considered it only proper, she said, considering that they had walked all the week to make up the balance of rest on Sunday. Coming down to the 8 o'clock breakfast, she found only the three boys waiting, and inquired of the host if he knew where the other young girl had gone. Mine host, with a shrug of the shoulders, informed them that their sister, as he quietly assumed Leonore to be, had come down more than an hour ago, and as soon as the door was open, and had asked for a cup of milk and a roll, saying she was going out for a walk by herself. "Just like her," said Henry, good-humoredly. "I suppose, then, she does not intend to be back till the second dejeuner, so we will not wait for her." Marie looked rather anxious. "I do not like Leonore to be out much alone, Henry. Do you?" she asked in a lower tone as the man withdrew. "She forgets how careful we ought to be, and never thinks of what she says or does, whether there are strangers near or not." "Well, we cannot help it now," answered Henry, "and I dare say she has gone out alone into the woods. It would be most like her. In fact, I was going to propose that we should do the same. Go out for a walk instead of resting. Think of Louis." "Oh, I did not mean to go for a walk. But you see, I have been thinking we may get into some trouble if we stay in the inn all day without going to Mass. You see," and he spoke in a still lower tone, "she is sure to be all right," said Henry. "The people of this village are all Roman Catholics, and would think it a good deed to inform against heretics if they could. Now, I thought we'd better say that we are going to spend the day in the wood, and just go far enough to be out of sight of the villagers at any rate. We could rest in the wood as well as here." "Yes, but what about Leonore?" objected Gloom. "She will come home and find none of us here." "Yes, that is a difficulty," assented Henry. "But we could write a note to be given to her if she came back, telling her where to find us." "It would never do to write a note," put in Marie. "They would know at once that we were not peasant children. A message might do, perhaps." It was so arranged, and soon after breakfast the four children went out to a little wood beyond the village and spent a very quiet, restful day together. Leonore did not appear, though Gloom went back twice to the inn to look for her, and when at 6 o'clock in the evening they all went back and Marie asked if she had come in, the answer was still no. "Where can she be?" exclaimed Marie, beginning to feel alarmed. "Oh, she is sure to be all right," said Henry. "It is only one of her pranks. Let us have our supper, and then Louis had better go to bed so as to be fresh for tomorrow." "There's going to be a storm," said Gloom abruptly, coming from the window. "Perhaps it will blow over as it did last night," suggested Marie hopefully. But it did not blow over, for just as they rose from supper, a terrific clap of thunder broke quite suddenly over the house, followed by a gust of driving rain. There was a simultaneous exclamation of Leonore as they ran to the window. No Leonore was in sight. "What shall we do, Henry?" asked Marie. Henry shrugged his shoulders. "One does not know where to go," he said, but Gloom had already left the room, and they saw him striding down the village in the rain. Henry looked after his brother, half ashamed, half amused, and wholly puzzled. "Louis had better go to bed at any rate," he remarked. "But perhaps poor Leonore is out in the storm," said Louis, with frightened eyes. "Well, and if she is, little brother," said Henry, in the tender tone which he always used to Louis, "you cannot go and look for her. Come," he added, raising the little fellow in his arms, "I will carry you upstairs, and you must go to sleep like a good boy. Marie and I will see after Leonore, and I will promise that you shall find her all right in the morning." Though he spoke so confidently, Henry was by this time getting very anxious, and when he had carried Louis upstairs and left him to Marie, he began seriously to consider the best means of finding Leonore. It struck him that the host might have noticed which way Leonore took in the morning, and eventually he made out pretty certainly and that she had gone almost in an opposite direction to the one in which Gloom was seeking her. He set off at once, in spite of the furious storm of wind and rain which threatened almost to blow him off his feet, and ran along a path which skirted the wood for some distance, only stopping every now and then to shout for Leonore. By and by the path joined on again into a high road, and though not the same as that by which they had come, it still was bordered on one side by the wood, and on the other side by a stretch of rough, uncultivated ground, which seemed to reach to the hills which they had passed through the day before. Henry went on for about a mile along this road without meeting Leonore, and then began to wonder whether he had taken the wrong way after all. It was very strange if she were still further away at such an hour. Yet where else could she have gone along that road unless she had lost herself in the uncleared wood? And he had several times gone a little way within it to shout for her. He stopped to consider. The storm had ceased as suddenly as it began and was drifting rapidly away, and though everything dripped with the heavy rain and glistened in the brilliant light of the setting sun. Just as Henry had made up his mind to go again and call within the wood, he heard a footstep close in front, and looking up, saw Leonore at length before him. She did not see him, for her eyes were on the ground, and she was walking very wearily. Her hair shone in the sunlight like the dripping leaves, and he could see that her clothing was wet through. At the sound of Henry's exclamation, she looked up, and her face lighted up with pleasure as she said, "Did you come to meet me?" But Henry's relief was so great that it took the boyish form of anger, and he answered with the gruffness meant for dignified rebuke, "Well, I think you might have supposed we should be anxious about you, Leonore. What could you mean by going off in that way for the whole day without a word?" "I am responsible to no one for my actions," answered the young countess haughtily. "I am not under your charge, and it was nothing to you if I chose to absent myself from your company for a day." "It will be nothing to you, then, I suppose," answered Henry warmly, "if Louis cannot sleep for thinking you are lost, and if Gloom is laid up with worry and fatigue and cold." He turned on his heel as he spoke, thoroughly angry, and began to walk home quickly by himself, intending to leave Leonore to her own devices. But he had not gone very far before there was a swift step behind him, and a hand was laid on his arm, while Leonore's voice said entreatingly, "Henry, mon ami, do not be angry with me. I was wrong, truly. I might have known, but indeed I did not think you would be anxious. I meant to give you pleasure, and now I can only give you pain." Her brilliant eyes were full of tears, and Henry was divided between sympathy and amazement. He had never seen Leonore so much moved before, but though entirely forgiving what concerned himself, he could not entirely dismiss resentment for his brother. He raised his cap and said simply, "And I was wrong so to address you, Mademoiselle la Comtesse de Villeneuve." "Please don't," pleaded Leonore. "If you knew how I hate myself when I speak so to you, and that I really do not mean it. It is only a bad habit, which no one ever checked in me, and if you knew what I must tell you..." Her voice failed again. "You have heard bad news somewhere," exclaimed Henry with a start. "Leonore," as a sudden idea flashed across him, "where did you go? To St. Croix?" Leonore bowed her head in answer, and two great tears rolled down in spite of all her efforts. "What is it?" asked Henry hoarsely. "Father Gabriel?" "Oh, Henry, the dragoons have been there," cried Leonore in a kind of desperation. "And he is dead," answered Henry with the calmness of a great shock. "Did you hear how it was, Leonore?" "He was in the church. It was just after service, and they came in suddenly. They bade him come away from the altar and yield, and he faced them on the steps and would not. They said he should go free if he would tell them where your father was, and he would not. And then, O Henry, they slew him there before the altar. It was the death he would have chosen, answered the boy almost proudly. And what then? Did you hear more, Leonor? I talked to an old woman who called herself Mère Benoit, answered Leonor, and she told me that the wretches were so anxious that your father should not escape them, and that they did not stay a moment after they had murmured Father Gabriel, and so the rest of the village escaped. They were the same then, muttered Henry between his clenched teeth. She seemed so devoted to you all, and so anxious to know if you had escaped, that I could not help telling her that I had seen you not long ago, and how things had turned out with you. Oh, Henry, did I do wrong? No, she is worthy of trust, answered Henry. Poor old Benoit, I am glad she has had tidings. And was she not terribly grieved, Leonor? Oh, Henry, it was dreadful, and she would scarcely believe me, and most of all she wept for Arella. He was too good to live, said she, and there would never be such another, even at St. Croix. I do think she would have been content that any one of you should have died, so that Arella had been saved. And she was right, broke in Henry impetuously. Oh, Arella, Arella! And the boy fairly broke down and sobbed aloud. Leonor did not know what to do. To see Henry like this fairly frightened her, and she thought almost with awe of the unknown Arella to whom such love was given. After a few minutes, Henry looked up again and tried to speak as if nothing were the matter. "We are nearly home, Leonor," he said with a smile that was piteous to see on so young a face. "I hope you are not very tired." "Oh, it does not matter about me," cried Leonor under her breath. "Oh, Henry, I am very, very sorry." Henry took her hand with an affectionate gesture that did much to console her. "Thank you," he said simply.